Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 29 through 31, but tonight we're going to look at verse 29 through 31, and we'll look at verse 29 tonight. Hebrews 11, verse 29 through 31. The Bible says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pause again just for a moment. Lord Jesus, we ask now that as we look in Your Word, Spirit of God, we pray that You would illuminate our hearts and minds. You're the great reminder. You're the great revealer. Show us tonight, Lord, how these verses, how they impact our lives. And Father, how that they are necessary, Lord, because they are examples for us and to us. In Christ we pray. Amen. When we talk about faith, and we've been doing it now through a number of weeks going through chapter 11, we have to come down to just some basic, it's not really definitions, because faith is hard to define. It's usually something that you experience. You look back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But there's not a definition of faith. But to sort of put some perimeters around it so we can sort of herd it together so we could wrap our minds around it, faith is trusting completely in God's Word. Now, we say that, but there's another side to that. Yes, I believe in God's Word. I believe that what God said is true, and that's what my salvation is wrapped up in, and my daily life is wrapped up in. Well, let me run this by you. We will see in the scriptures that we're going to talk about tonight that the people had no guarantee except God's Word, and that He would not change His Word or forget them. You know, a lot of times when we claim a promise, there's always that side. I wonder if God's going to forget. I wonder if He's going to remember me. Now, let's be honest, we're humans. And if you've ever had to remind somebody 3 or 4 times about something, you know, they say, well, but that's not God. Please remember that. But yet, if we're not careful in our carnal mindset in the midnight hour when we're tired and exhausted and nothing seems to be working out and you're not feeling well, remember that God is not going to change His Word, and He will not forget you. That's important. When we come back to our verse here in verse 29 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith they, now you're talking about 4, 5, maybe 6 million people, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Isn't it amazing how that in one sentence, probably 10 words or less, you can say, oh yeah, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Okay, let's move on. Really? By faith you went through an experience in your life. Is that all you're going to say about it? God gives us His Word. And understand when I say this, that here in Hebrews 11, 29, He says in just a matter of 10 words, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. But He's given us the backstory is over in Exodus chapter 14. That's why we have all of the Word of God, so we can go back and see what it took to get 4 to 6 million people across the Red Sea. And that there were some issues that they're going to face as Pharaoh's army is chasing them with 600 chariots. And you got all these things going on, and they're not real happy with Moses, because they're going to say to him, we're going to go to Exodus 14 moment. They're going to say, well, you know what? You brought us out here to die. We could have stayed in Egypt. I mean, we could have been the servants of the Egyptians. I mean, why are you dragging us out here? Of course, the thing always pops up in my mind. Says, we could have stayed there, and we could have eaten all the lentils and the peas and all that we wanted. Me, I'm going to the Promised Land. I know there's a Krispy Kreme donut shop over there, so I'm going over there. I'm not going to stay back over in Vegetable City. No, thank you. But turn in your Bibles to Exodus 14, just with me tonight, and we're going to camp out over here, then we'll come back. But it's amazing, though, that in Hebrews 11, it says simply, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. They passed through by faith. Exodus 14, verse 5. Now, I'm going to narrate some of this, some of it I'm going to read, because there's some key phrases in here that I want you to remember. Exodus 14, 5, and it was told the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Verse 6, and he made ready his chariots, and he took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. That means they went out, and you know, remember what this, well, we won't go back and look at it, but earlier in Exodus, that the children of Israel, they were given gifts by the Egyptians on their way out. So they had gold and silver. They had things. And what would they use those for? Well, they look good on, no, they were going to use them for the tabernacle, and that's later on. So they go out with a high hand. But, verse 9, the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Phahah Haroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Stop right there for a moment. By faith, God's going to get them through the Red Sea. But what is hindering their faith right now? Fear. They're sore afraid. Fear will hinder you from placing your faith in God. Even though God has given his word, who did he give his word to? Moses. And in a few moments, we're going to see something down in verse 15 that's kind of humorous to me as a pastor. But it's amazing that, okay, this is what God's going to do. He's going to take us out of there. He's going to take us back to the promised land. God's going to meet all of our needs. He's going to take care of us. And so now we're on the first leg of the journey. Now, do you really think that after you left Egypt that Pharaoh was going to be okay with all this? I don't think so. You know how Pharaoh is. He's so full of himself. Now they've taken all the servants, and oh, heaven forbid that they have to get their hands dirty, these Egyptians. And so as they're leaving, all of a sudden they see this dust cloud behind them. Here comes 600 chariots. I mean, they're driving like madmen. They're coming after the Israelites. And watch what takes place. Now the people are crying unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, verse 11, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Oh, my stars. Here's that committee that's never been done this way. They're all there, and they're giving Moses an earful. But now watch what takes place. Watch verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Now, why would he say that first? Because the people were afraid. By the way, they were so afraid. That means they were trembling. He says, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, you know, here's Moses, and he's been up, you know, he's getting ready to go up on the mountain in a few chapters. He's going to see God, and he's going to get the Ten Commandments. Moses has got all kinds of faith. But now, what about the rest of the children of Israel? For almost 400 years, they have been living faithless. God has not done anything that they could see, and now that God has sent them a Redeemer, Moses, he's going to deliver them out of there. The people, what are they doing? They're complaining. Why? Because they're afraid. They're afraid it's not going to work. Sounds like us, doesn't it? It may work for you, Moses, but hey, we're down here. You know, you had a good 40 years, your first of your life. You know, you got out of the river, and then the princess took you. Your first 40 years were good. And then you disappeared 40 years, and now you show up, and you're 80 years old, and now you're just full of all kinds of good news, Moses. You're leading us out here, and we're afraid. Fear not. Go back to verse 13. Fear not, and then do what? Stand still. You know what people do when they get afraid? They become afraid. They start walking around. They start getting in groups, and they're probably just milling about, and they're restless. Why? They're terrified. They don't have the weapons. They don't have what Pharaoh has. So he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Now watch verse 14. He also says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, that's a nice King James way of saying, shut up. Hold your peace. Quit whining. God's going to fight for you. Well, you know, the last 400 years, God hasn't been fighting for them. Why? Because remember, they were godless, they were faithless, they were still God's chosen people. But now watch what takes place in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now Moses is fussing at the people. Well, what does God say to Moses? What are you crying unto me? Do what I said I was going to do for you. Tell the people to do what? It's no more, it's time out. We're not talking about it anymore. You've got people standing still. It's time to do what? It's time to put feet on our faith. It's time to move. Move out. Now, where are they going to move to? Now, you got, remember, 4 to 6 million people. That's a lot of people, by the way. And so here they are. They come up to the Red Sea. And, you know, you've heard the stories. Well, it was a swamp, and it was all this. I heard a story about a lady. I may have told you this years ago. This lady was in a church, and they got a young pastor, and he was kind of that new mindset that, you know, the miracles really weren't miracles in the Bible. And he said, well, you know, he says, you know, the Red Sea, he said, it was probably just a swamp. It really wasn't a sea. And this lady was sitting out there, and she's like us, old school. She said, praise God. It just shook everybody up, because they don't do that in that church. He said, ma'am, are you okay? Oh, yes. Praise God. Ma'am, is there a problem? Listen, it's an even greater miracle that God could drown the whole Egyptian army in 2 feet of water. Yeah. Little as much when God's in it. Amen? Okay. So he says, verse 15, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. And, Moses, this is your responsibility. Lift up, verse 16, lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, back over in, and I won't go back there and read it, but remember back over in Hebrews 11, 29, it says, and by faith they went through the Red Sea. Just like we went out on Sunday afternoon and we got together and said, hey, what do you want? Let's go through the Red Sea. Oh, yeah. You want to bring anything? Oh, sure, we'll bring some. No, it wasn't that easy, was it? God is using Moses to lead the people. Moses, you stand up. You wait. You set your arms separate. You part the sea, and the people have got to move forward. They've got to go across. He told them to stand still and see the glory of God, see the salvation of God. Tonight, I want to challenge you in your faith, wherever you are in your walk, all your life experiences, let me encourage you to do one thing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It comes in many different ways. It might come in saving a grandson or granddaughter, your neighbor, or your husband, or your nephew, whatever. And it could be the fact that God is just doing marvelous things. He has revived you and given you a fresh anointing on your life, and your cup is full again with joy. And you know what? You're in a good place tonight, right here. This is a good thing. My point is this, folks. We need to come along as we take this walk of faith. There are times when we need to stand still, and we need to acknowledge what God has done and what he's getting ready to do. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge. My grandsons, they teach me these little life lessons all along the road. They'll text me and ask me something, and I'll give them an answer. Then they always send back this little thank you. And then they're waiting. You know what they're waiting? They want me to say, you're welcome. Well, it took me a while to figure that out. And I keep getting these things. Pops, question mark, pops, question mark, pop. So I'd say, what? You're supposed to say, you're welcome. All right, work with me here. They just took all my money out of my wallet, I burn up all the gas in my car. My back seat looks like, you know, somebody has driven about 4,000 cattle through it. I like to keep my car clean. Grandsons don't do that yet. I can't wait until one afternoon. Christian used to have this thing he'd do whenever we'd go somewhere. He'd always take his shoes off. He'd put his feet up on my dash. And I'd be standing there just looking at him and saying, he's hit me from behind. I said, what? Don't you say. I said, that's fine. One of these days he's going to take me for a ride in his car. I'm going to put that bad boy right there, right on the dash. He's going to say, Pops, what are you doing? I'm just getting comfortable, man. You reap what you sow, boy. You reap what you sow. You're welcome. You know, sometimes when God does something for us, when's the last time when you say thank you and he says you're welcome, do you sit there and bask in that, the fact that you have that conversation with him? Be still. Know him. Well, it's not over yet. Here come the Egyptians. They're driving hard. God takes an angel. This is down in verse 19. He takes an angel and he puts the angel that was leading them. He was going before them because God was leading them with this angel. He puts the angel behind them and he separates the two armies. And so the Egyptians camp out because they're not going to get there. This is all up in verse 19 and 20. When the Egyptians, when they see, all they see is this dark cloud. They see darkness. That's judgment, by the way, in the Bible. But on the other side where the angel is, it's light. For the Israelites, because Jesus is the light and God's going to show them the way. Well, look on down to verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud. And he troubled the host of the Egyptians, verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. It's amazing. The Egyptians figured this out before the Israelites did. God is fighting for you, church. And yet the lost people, sometimes they see it before we do. They'll acknowledge it before we do. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Going down to verse 30. It says, and thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Why? Because once the Israelites got over to the land, Moses dropped his arms and the water came back together and drowned all of them. The Egyptians. In verse 31, here's the result. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people, this is part of the great work, and the people feared the Lord. You remember back over, it says that they were sore afraid. Now they fear what? Not the Egyptians. Now they fear the Lord because they see his power and what he can do. Even if it was on their behalf. And then it says, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So, in verse 31, the people feared the Lord, they believed the Lord, and they saw the great work which the Lord did. The great work. Then you go to Hebrews 11, 29, it says, oh yeah, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. No, there's a lot more going on than just, okay, we believe that by faith. Let's move on. No. Go back to Hebrews just for a moment, and I'm going to put this thing to bed. Hebrews 11, 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground. When you're facing difficulties, you've got these almost seemingly insurmountable things. We'll say it's like crossing the Red Sea. First of all, it takes a holy boldness, a holy boldness. I know it's short, and we already went back to Exodus 14. We read all the backstory. But by faith, it says they passed. What you need to understand in that verse is that they didn't stay there. They did what? They went forward. They passed. Now, there was probably a couple of doubters in that 4 to 6 million people. There's probably some doubters in there, but you know what? They still went. Why? Because they saw what God was doing. I mean, all of a sudden, and by the way, if you go back to Exodus 14, it talks about the water was walled up on both sides, and they went across on dry ground. Only God can do that. So what other is the east wind blowing? Only God can do that. Folks, you send 6 million people, or four, however many, you send that many people across one place, it's going to get muddy and nasty. It was probably dusty by the time they got there. Why? Because that's what God commanded it to do. It takes a holy boldness. And then it says, they pass through as by dry land. You know, the world has a number of difficulties they continue to throw at us. Trying to trip us up, trying to keep us out of focus, trying to remind us that that God is not true and he does keep his word, and sometimes he forgets about us. And even though, and here's the battle, even though we say, I know, folks, understand that just one doubt, it'll break your heart. So does God really know where I am? Does he really understand what I'm going through? Does he care about me? Does he care about me? And see, now, the fact that God has given you his word, his promise, and the fact that God has never changed, that can change us toward him. Just that one little sliver of doubt. That's why we need to always go back to his word. That's why we need to stay in a body of fellowship like this, and we need to be reminded and challenged that not just because God did it for you, he's going to do it. No, it's because God has given us his word, and he's promised that he's never going to change his word, and he will not forget about me. That is important. That is important. One last little trip here. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We've got Daniel chapter 3. We've got the three Hebrew teenagers. Nebuchadnezzar is not happy with them because they will not bow down and worship his golden image. Daniel 3 verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake, now remember now, these are teenagers. He spake unto them, and he said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 15, he's going to give them another chance. Now if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now listen to their answer. They didn't figure this out when they got there. It was already in their hearts. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from the burning fiery furnace out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Thou hast set up. Does the world come and taunt us and see if we will bow down and honor what they're doing and all these kinds of things? There was an issue that came out the other day in one of the papers that I get online from a seminary president, one of our seminary presidents in the Southern Baptist Convention, and Dr. Moeller. And in it he said, you know, he gave some challenges. What would you do if you were in these different situations and you were asked to go and attend, and it had about four or five different things, and he said, what would you do and why would you do it? So it was food for thought, and so I started working through my mind and thinking of scripture and getting through it all the way. And then by the time you get to it, and he kept sort of pegging it along, you know, so when, don't forget now, your friends have asked you to do this, and don't forget now that, you know, and then there's, you know, what's expected in your culture, and he's had all this, and he's just like, he's baiting you. And by the time you get to the end of it, the bottom line is, he said, you know, which one of these things would you attend? And I said, none of them. And he said, that's the right answer. He says, But how hard will that answer be when it's really put before you and it's got real faces and there's real pressure and everybody's looking at you to see what you're going to do? See what you're going to do. See, these three boys, they already knew what they were going to do. We're not going to bow down. And even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down and worship you. Go over to chapter 6, and then we'll close with this. Chapter 6, the king is sort of put in a bad place. He liked Daniel, but Daniel was caught worshiping toward Jerusalem in his prayer time, and so he was turned in, so he was cast into the lion's den. Verse 20. And by the way, the king's up all night because he's concerned about Daniel. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Now, why would he cry with a lamentable voice? Because he's not sure Daniel's going to be alive. Why? Because he just spent the night with some lions. So that's what I mean, lamentable. Oh, Daniel, I hope, Daniel, you in there. Listen, verse 20. With a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done thee no hurt. Bottom line, I'm doing fine. The king says, get him out of there. And then the guys that had him put in there, they became breakfast for the lions. Daniel had his mind made up. These three Hebrew children had their mind made up. Moses had his mind made up, but because he's the leader, he's got to get these people to follow him. So what does Moses have to do? He has to step forward, and he has to do what only God can do first through him and the seas part, and then what? The people had to go forward. People had to go forward. And every step they took, folks, they got stronger and stronger as they took that step. Took the step. We're all facing difficulties. We all have things that we have to encounter day in and day out. There's obstacles that we have to overcome. And then we have to keep getting up when the world keeps putting us down. Now let's close with this tonight. I got a couple of minutes. Politically, you look around and you say, oh man, we're in trouble. We got this guy and we've got this and we got a Supreme Court justice needs to be replaced and the economy's bad. And if you're reading lately in some of the other papers, Obamacare is imploding all around and people are not able to get the treatments they have. And these people are already involved in having like cancer treatments and things. And right in the middle of all of this, because the IRS is involved in it now, they're being denied because they didn't a certain paper. And they have to go back and redo it all, and it's going to take a year to 18 months, and they'll probably be dead by then. So you got all this craziness going on. Mix that up with just what we go through daily. How many of you drive US 1 through 312 at noon every day? Have you lost your mind? I go around just because. Why? I know what color. It's red, it's yellow, it's green, but I don't need to see it three times before I get up there so I can go. And I'm looking around and seeing anybody putting on makeup or doing their hair, and everybody just sitting there. Whew. Of course, I'm really working on my being patient thing. Not. I don't even want to go there. I prayed for patience one time. A girl T-boned my truck. Took a month to get it fixed. And the guy left the door open when we had a rainy weekend. Destroyed the inside of it. And my preacher said, you going to keep praying for patience? Not anymore. No, not anymore. I'm done. But faith, sometimes, you remember the time Jesus was walking through and a lady had an issue of blood? And what did she do? She reached out and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus and all the disciples, all of a sudden Jesus stopped and he said, who touched me? And of course, you see the disciples. Lord, I mean, you're hard-pressed. Everybody's touching. He says, no, somebody touched me in faith. And when he turned around, the people just kind of parted like that, and the lady was there on her. And number one, she's supposed to be at least 6 feet away because she's unclean. She's ceremonially unclean. And yet he looked at her and he said, "Did you touch me?" She said, "Yes." And he said, "Stand up, you're healed." What's the point? The point is sometimes in our walk, we have to, and the Lord does this, he'll put somebody in front of you or somebody around you that you can hang on to the hem of their garment, and they'll give you the faith that you need to get you to the next place. See, you're not by yourself. The children of Israel had Moses. They also had each other. And every time they took a step, oh man, they're building a testimony. They're building, look what God's doing. Look, we were involved in that. Look what God did. So from time to time when we're down and we think, well, you know, God's going to put somebody by you, and all you do is just grab on the tail of their robe, and that'll be the faith that you need. And their faith will pull you through to the next thing. And that's what God does. Amen? Amen. So, now I'm going to be cute for a minute. So in the midst of your pity party, look around because there's somebody's robe that you can hang on to get you through the next thing. Okay? Unless you enjoy having them. Me? No, I don't have time for them. I got too much to do. God puts people in your path. And you know what? And it's an unspoken thing. And they may not even know it. But then there's going to be a time when someone may be holding on to your coattail and you're pulling them through and they're operating on your faith. And that's okay too. Why? Because that's part of being part of the body of Christ. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. God, we read in Hebrews 11:29, by faith they went to the Red Sea. Wow. No, there's more to it than that. Lord Jesus, you care about us. You care about the little things. Lord, help us not to just say, well, I don't have that kind of faith, and I'm not up to that, and I'm tired. And what if it doesn't work, and I don't want to embarrass God by asking. Lord, help us put all those things aside and help us, Lord, just to stand still, watch you. And Lord, you put people around us that we can hang on to and they'll pull us through unbeknownst to them. They'll help us get through, Lord, to the next place. Lord, that's what the body of Christ is all about. Thank you for that. Thank you for the three Hebrew children, three Hebrew teenagers, Lord, bold. Whether or not our God delivers us, we are not going to bow down to you. Daniel, you're okay. Yes, O king, I'm okay. God sent an angel. Shut the mouths of the lions. God, you're doing those things around us, and unless we stand still, we may miss it. We may miss it, Lord. May we see the salvation of God, the glory of God, the hand of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God all around us. Thank you for allowing us to be here this night. In Jesus' name, amen.